You open your Bibles over to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Be reading from that in a moment. I know I already had some flowers up here, but I wanted to bring some more just as an impact, as a show that you can get the point when the time comes. John chapter 4. Jesus is speaking here, and beginning in verse 21, Jesus says, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshiper. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Will you pray with me? Father, today we are thankful for Jesus. And as Rob had mentioned previously, the fact that not just the terrible portion of Jesus' death, but the wonderful portion of his resurrection, the goodness that came from it, the fact that we can have freedom, we can have salvation, we can have heaven. And we thank you for that, and we thank you and realize, God, that you want us to worship you, and you've set down a plan, a way for us to do that. And we pray, Father, as we discuss ways that this can be done, we hope that our hearts would be open. We hope and pray, Father, that we can do things that will be proper in your glory and in your presence. And we pray in your Son's name. Amen. If I passed out to you a little card, 3 by 5, whatever, like the cards in the pew in front of you, so let's say it's blank, and I hand this card out to you, and I asked you, I asked you to put on the card, "Why are you here today?" I asked you to answer that. Write down the real, honest reason. Now, I don't want you to hand it in to me. I want you to hand it in to yourself. I want you to answer yourself. Why are you here today? Really, why are you here? Is it because of pressure from your loved ones, from your spouse, from your family, that you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that pressure? Are you here because of guilt? Are you here because you'd be in trouble if you wasn't here? Why are we really here today? Well, the pat answer is to be to worship God. So how do we do that? What is worship? And sometimes we have said it's now time to begin a regular worship service. What is irregular worship service then? What is time to begin our worship service? That means that everything else we've been doing isn't worship? You know, this just opens up a whole avenue of questions and answers, or maybe not answers, but questions at any rate. But what is worship? And I hope to define some of that today, that when we leave here, we'll have hopefully a different perspective, a different outlook of what worship really is. I want to read you words from a song, part of the words from a song that Neil Diamond and Barbara Streisand did several years ago. And that's thus why I put the flowers up here in addition. But it's a song supposedly from a wife to her husband, as Barbara and Neil sing this. "You don't bring me flowers anymore. You don't sing me love songs. You hardly talk to me when you come through the door. You don't bring me flowers anymore. I can remember when you hated to leave me. You used to love me. It used to be so natural for us to talk about forever. But now our used-to-be's just lie on the floor because you don't bring me flowers anymore." When we come to worship God, we should have a period of reverence, a period of wonder, a period of sincerity, and a period of seriousness in our hearts when it comes to worship God. And not just here on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock for worship service, but at any time. If you've seen recently, the big to-do, if you please, is on the Muslim religion. But you understand that when the Muslim go to their assemblies, the reverence that they show by getting on their knees and praying. I recall one time in Searcy, Arkansas, where Harding University is located, that there was one preacher there named Jimmy Allen. And Jimmy made a habit in what we call public worship to always get on his knees and pray. And I recall one time that Jimmy had his leg in a cast, and it became very difficult for him to do that. But he was so dedicated to doing that, that he would spend several minutes getting in position to get on his knees to pray. But if we look at the Muslim religion, we understand that they are dedicated and sincere in humbling themselves in order to worship their God. I recall as Jenny and I were in Turkey, when someone becomes a Muslim, they do it with the attitude, they select a period of the day that they pray. And just hypothetically, let's say it's 10, 2, and 4. Some of us older people might remember that as the Dr. Pepper slogan or time. But whatever the time was that a Muslim would pick to pray, no matter where he is at that time of the day, he'll stop what he's doing, no matter what it is, and pray. And as a rule, he'll take off his outer garment, and I don't care if it's 92 degrees, they've got a coat on for some reason. And they'll take, and maybe it's that reason, they'll take that coat off, they'll lay it on the ground and face Mecca, and they will pray their time. 10 in the morning, 2 in the, whatever time they have selected, they pray, whatever location they're in, they stop and pray then. But I find it so respectful that all the people around them who are also Muslims, when they see someone praying, they just make a big divide and walk around them. They honor that and they respect that very much. You kneel down on the sidewalk today in downtown Spokane and begin praying, and guess what's going to happen? But the reverence that we need to show in our worship service is our reverence is to God and should be dedicated to God. I want to read these words again to you in the context that they're coming from God to us in our worship service. Let's visualize that God is speaking to us as we present our bodies to God as a worship service go. What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to do it? And how does God feel? Think of it in that context as I read these again, as if coming from God. You don't bring me flowers anymore. You don't sing me love songs. You hardly talk to me when you come through the door because you don't bring me flowers anymore. I can remember when you hated to leave me. You used to love me. It used to be so natural for us to talk about forever. But now I used to be just lying on the floor because you don't bring me flowers anymore. If you guys have ever had the occasion to take your wife flowers, whether it be an anniversary, a birthday, a get out of trouble card, whatever it might be, the first thing that the lady will do, the wife will do, the woman will do is smell the flowers. We don't take them flowers that are decayed. We don't take them used flowers. I know some, and I had a child that would do this, that would go next door to the lady's rose garden and borrow a rose to bring to their mother. But we don't take flowers that are rotten. We don't take used flowers to someone we love. We take flowers that smell good. And God has always wanted a sweet aroma. Even in the Old Testament, when they had sacrifices, we read about how he wanted a sweet smelling aroma coming up to him. And if we go to Exodus chapter 20 and look at the Ten Commandments, God wants to be first in our lives, folks. He wants to be the top of the list. And when God handed down the Ten Commandments to Moses, if you read those, you'll find that the first four of the 10, the first 4 pertain to God. You shall have no other God before you. You can worship me. Don't have idols. I'm it. And then he goes on and talks about remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The first 4 commandments out of the 10 pertain to himself or to God. God wants us to honor him. God wants us to worship him. And he wants us to do it in a proper way. And matter of fact, in the Old Testament, he laid out all the specifics of how it's supposed to be done. And he said, these are the steps, these are the orders. You go through the priest, this is how you do it, and when you do it. As he did with salvation in the New Testament, he left it up to us to decipher how it should be done. He gives us the freedom to decide if we want to meet at 10 or to decide if we want to meet at 2. He gave us the freedom to decide how we want to do it. And we have arrived on a format that we generally sometimes joke about, the 2 songs and a prayer. And I have gone to congregations that spend most of their time in song service, and it's hallelujah, and that's good. I have gone to services where they have 1, 2, or 3, or 4 different speakers at the service. There's no set format in God's Word or how we're supposed to do it in today's terms. But there was in the Old Testament. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to read verses 14 and 15. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we, you, are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Romans 12:1. Paul writes in Romans 12, he said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. If we're going to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, then we need to have a sweet smelling aroma as far as our actions and our attitude in our, quote, worship service. Folks, we need to maybe back up and evaluate what we do in our worship service. The preaching session, or the portion of it, is not just our worship service. The Lord's Supper is part of it. Our singing is part of it. And we've heard so many times, those of us who have been around the church for any years, have heard about this 5 acts of worship. And that's okay. I don't have any heartburn with that. But there can be more than 5. We can have 15 if we wanted to add some worship, as long as our worship service is worship of God and not worship of ourselves. And we need to remember to put our God first when it comes to our worship service instead of little personal things that happen. If we are honestly presenting our bodies and ourselves as a sacrifice to God, then every thought, everything we do is going to be pointing toward reverence to God and love to God. And if we do that, and now I can quit preaching and go to meddling. If we do that in our schools today, they don't allow kids to get up and walk around and just do anything they want to do during a classroom time. They don't allow kids to run in and out and go to the bathroom. And certainly, we're not even thinking about doing it for adults. So what are we dedicating our lives to when we have no more regard for our worship service than then we just wander around and don't do anything and pay no attention and disrupt other people that's in the worship service? So I think we can meddle when it comes to that regard, because when we disrupt other people in our worship service, and I don't care if it's during the time we're praying or singing or whatever the case might be, then we are a hindrance to someone else. We need to evaluate our own life, church family, how and if we are hindering other people from the worship. If we will focus on God and being a sweet-smelling aroma to God and focus on worshiping him, then we won't concentrate on that. and we're going to try our best to not be part of disruption in their service. Some people might say, what is the first sign of divorce in a marriage? And some might say, it's when you get the divorce papers. I used to work with a young man, and Gary came to work one day and just all upset. I said, what's wrong? Because you would tell. He was really bothered. I said, what's wrong, Gary? He said, I got home last night, and they served me divorce papers, and I had no idea that it was that bad. And you can go anywhere you want to go from that. But the first sign of divorce is not when you get the papers. The first sign is when we begin to neglect that individual. You don't bring me flowers anymore. You used to love me. We used to talk about forever. Neglect is the first sign of divorce of a Christian with God. Neglect in our assembly, neglect in getting together, neglect in paying attention in our worship service instead of writing notes to each other, instead of reading a bulletin. Now I can mail some more. While I'm at it, I'll just do that. If we are worshiping God, then we're not going to sit and read the bulletin during the worship service. If we are worshiping God, we're not going to write notes during the worship service. If we are worshiping God, I think you get the drift now what we need to be doing. We need to put our hearts and our thoughts and our mind toward that worship service. Why are you here today? Why are you here today? Is it to worship God? Or are you here for peer pressure? Or are you here because someone said you had to be here or you're supposed to be here? Why are we really, really, really here today? In 1978, my father died. And at the funeral, a lot of kind words were said. I don't recall anything being said that wasn't true. I was quite proud of some of the things that were said of my father. But my father and I had a relationship. I know a lot of people have a good relationship with their fathers and some have a bad relationship. But my dad and I had a relationship that we had some secrets that only he and I knew. Just share something with you, for example. He and I would go fishing a lot at night. And my mom would always fix us some food, and she always made several sandwiches, and we would eat, and Dad would take a couple of bites and throw the sandwich overboard. And after I watched this for several times, I said, Dad, why do you do that? He said, oh, your mom always fixes way too much. I don't want to hurt her feelings by taking anything back. So I'm a real clever 12-year-old boy, and I'm going to correct this problem. So the next time we're going to go fishing, I'm in the kitchen. And Mom's making all these sandwiches. And I said, Mom, why do you make so many? She said, every time I make one more, you always come back without any, so I make one more extra next time. But I try to be a diplomat. I said, don't you think you're making too many? She said, no, hon. Said, if I make eight, you eat eight. If I make 10, you eat 10. Now, I don't want you all to be hungry out there on the lake fishing. So then it came to the point that Dad would take one bite. Best fed fish in that area that you ever seen. But little secrets that my dad and I had like that. But you see, at the funeral, when all these kind words have been said, if someone had come in and started disrupting that service, I'd have heard him after the services. I'd have been upset because my time spent in memorial service to my father, to me, was important. Don't you disrupt the service of memorial to my father. And shouldn't we have the same approach about disrupting the service to our Heavenly Father? We need to be humble. We need to be genuine. And we need to pay attention and not be disrupted when it comes to our worship to our God. And if there's nothing we can do about it, then I would suggest that we need to ask and try to get assistance. So what do we need to do? Am I doing it right? Talk to the elders about it. Try to find out what we need to do to have a good worship service. Well, you might say, what is good? What is good for you won't be good for me, or vice versa, perhaps. But I know this. If we're going to be able to worship God effectively, it should be where we're not disrupted, and it should be where we have an aroma. It should be where we dedicate sincerely 100% our hearts, our minds, and our body to that worship service, instead of having a ho-hum attitude about it. Well, it's that time. And quit worrying about what time the preacher's going to quit. Quit worrying about whether or not we're going to get the restaurant or the food on time. Dedicate ourselves to worshiping God, because the time's going to come that we will give an account to God as to how we conducted ourselves in worship service and out of worship service. So as we come before our Father in worship, let's have a heart and an attitude of humility and sincerity. Let's pray together. God, we thank you. I thank you for the opportunity we have to be together. And I know maybe we don't have it all together, Father. Maybe we don't know everything we need to do, but we're trying. And Father, just probe us gently if you need to, or probe us hard if you need to do it properly, to worship you the way you want us to worship you, not the way we think we need to do it. Thank you for Jesus, and pray in his name. Amen. If your heart is not right and comfortable with God, Christ walks through the door. Christ comes back to this earth like that. And there's no time saying, uh-oh, I'm sorry, time out. I want to get right real quick before it's too late. When Christ comes, you blink your eye and it's going to be that fast. Are you ready for that to happen today? And if you're not, and you want to be a Christian, God tells us through his word to believe in him, to confess him, to be baptized, repent of our sins, change our hearts, and become a Christian. Will it be easy? Absolutely not. Will it be comfortable? Absolutely yes. Because we'll have the assurance of going to heaven. If you need to have any assistance from this church, their elders, let us know. Let's stand together and sing.